by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my producer, engineer, John. Together, we welcome you to the program. It's Buckmaster on a Monday, October 17th, 2022, the middle of my favorite month. I love October. Great month. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line presented when we do our telephone interviews. We'll be doing, one of those. No, actually none today, but when we do, it's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I'm back in the saddle again. It was a glorious week up in Banff National Park, Alberta, Canada. What a beautiful time of year to be up there with all the larch trees showing their golden colors. Perfect time. I'm very blessed to have a great backup team. I want to say thank you to Dan Shear, editor of Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, food and beverage writer Matt Russell, and American Warrior radio host Ben Bueller Garcia. They did a great job, real pros, and appreciate them being on the team. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Custom frame mirrors, they'll do that for you. We've got a couple in our home. They have beautiful art in their gallery. They have, of course, they excel at picture framing. And Mo will come out to your home to make sure everything is up the way you want it. They're doing e-commerce on their newly designed website, moesgallery.com, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our commentators today, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for governor back in 2010, former chair of the Republican Party in Arizona, and Jeff Rogers, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Would you guys agree with me about October, Jeff?
Oh boy, it's been nice waking up and going to bed when it's nice and cool outside. You can open up the doors and leave the screen door open. Finally, the heat has broken.
And you remember, though, and John does too, because John grew up in Iowa. You guys are both Midwesterners, all three of us Midwesterners. The golden days of mid-October where you were in Iowa. Right now, there's some pretty trees right now in bloom.
Oh,
not bloom,
pretty
but
trees.
Showing their colors.
But those Indian autumns always bothered me because they were always, there was a brisk wind in Iowa coming down, and it was, got a little icy in the fall. This is a great, we've even had the monsoons continue into October.
I can't believe it.
It's great. It's beautiful days, and then it rains at night.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
I know, and there's actually rain in the forecast for next weekend. And of course, Jeff, growing up in Indiana, I can remember going down to, we went to a place called French Lick, Indiana.
Home of Larry Bird.
There's a famous old hotel there.
There is. There's two of them.
And I remember my parents, we all took the train down to that, and I still can remember the beautiful autumn down there.
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful area. And they've restored that hotel. Used to call it one of the seventh wonders of the world, and it was restored maybe 10 or 12 years ago. And it has this large domed area with no supports, which was at the time the largest domed area in the world.
Wow. Anyway, and of course, football season, Stanford, which has not had a great season, John, I know you were very happy.
Beat Notre
Dame.
They
go to South Bend, and I'll tell you, the Irish are struggling.
Well, they just ran into a better team.
Oh, come on.
Stanford won fair and square.
Yeah, that's true. And, of course, Jeff, Indiana hurrying Hoosiers just can't put it together.
They can't put it together.
And Arizona played a very respectable game this weekend.
They hung in there, didn't they?
I was pleased.
Indiana's loss is Washington's gain. This Michael Penix guy, he was a quarterback at Indiana, and the offensive coordinator was hired as a head coach, and he brought the quarterback with him, which was doubly devastating for Indiana. They lost their top quarterback and their top their offensive coach coordinator. So,
well, I came back to a lot of mail, including our ballots were ready for me to address this weekend, and Ann and I did that. I'm a little confused, Jeff and John, about why Carrie Lake, the Republican gubernatorial candidate for governor, and Mark Finchem, Secretary of State candidate, the Republican candidate, why they are against mail-in voting.
Well, and in Finchem's case, we already know someone's searched his voting records. He's voted by mail in virtually every race since
except one
he moved to Arizona. So
yeah,
good for him, but not good for other people. I don't know what they're thinking.
I don't think they're talking about early voting. They're talking about mail-in voting that gets to the polls on election day, like they were doing in some of the eastern states. There's a difference between early voting and voting instead of going to the poll just because you go in and you early vote. And early voting, or not early voting, mail-in voting, which is different than early voting, is virtually on election day, and you are very close to it. And that's what they have problems with, because you don't have any voter IDs, you don't know who's really sending in that ballot, and there's no time to check, as opposed to requesting an early ballot because you're going to be out of town, or because you're not going to get to the polls, but there's time to check it. There isn't time for just mail-in voting, and it's not secure. So that's the difference. And I don't think we should confuse the two.
Well, my impression from both of them was that they wanted to eliminate mail-in voting altogether, when right now we've had elections where 85% of the votes cast were mail-in ballots.
No, they're not. I don't think they're talking about eliminating
was certainly
early,
my understanding
early
of their
voting
statements.
Well, it's not my understanding.
Well, one thing that people will face on the ballot is an area that you guys know very well, and it's about this: shall we retain a particular judge? When I worked in the state of Nevada up there, they're still electing judges, Jeff. And here in Arizona, we used to. Then we went to this retention thing. So how often does a judge come up for retention?
Every 4 years they come up for retention. And then once, since we went to this, and I think it was in the mid-80s, there have only been three, to my knowledge, that have been voted out of office. And one of them had multiple marijuana convictions in New Mexico when he was vacationing there. And I forget the circumstances of the other two. The bar and the Supreme Court basically do an evaluation of all the judges. And last thing I saw was that in the three counties that elect or that don't elect judges, that select them this way, there was only one judge that the bar was recommending not be reappointed, and it was a judge up in Phoenix who I think does. Maricopa County Superior Court did mostly domestic relations cases. You could look at it the other way and say, well, this just goes to prove you why merit selection is such a good idea, because, you know, when the bar evaluates these judges, they don't come up with very many that are recommended against for being retained in office. I tend to favor merit selection over electing judges. I just don't think a judge ought to be thinking about his or her next election when making any decision at all. And I think merit selection has worked out well for us. I would like to see a Democrat appointing these judges rather than a Republican. But Ducey hasn't been too bad at the trial level. I could argue with some of his Court of Appeals and Supreme Court appointments, but trial judge wise, he's done a pretty good job, at least here in Pima County.
What do you think, John?
Well, I agree with Jeff that I don't want to see judges running for election. I don't think that's healthy. And therefore, you're cast onto some merit selection and process. The problem with the merit selection, it's not perfect, because even when the bar campaigns against the, you know, on the rare occasion that the Bar Association campaigns against a lawyer, or doesn't campaign, but it, or a judge, and but they say, we don't think this guy merits reappointment. A lot of people say, well, gee, if the lawyer's hating me, he must be really be good. And so, you know, it's just a problem. I think it's probably better than election of judges.
Yeah, it's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
For instance, we were talking before about Lillian Fisher was a judge here in Pima County, and the elected judges, she was elected, were grandfathered into the old system. So,
right.
But they still had to sit for a retention, and every 4 years the bar would come out against her, and routinely every time, and she never got reappointed.
No,
she never lost.
It isn't a, this retention thing isn't very effective. Now, I do know from my contacts inside the bench, and I'm, you know, this goes years back, the judges are very concerned about how they get rated for retention. So they're very concerned about it. And when retention is coming up and they see that happening, they all of a sudden get nice in the courtroom and they become more temperate. It does affect, I think, positively affect their behavior on the court, where they're trying to be polite. There's nothing worse. Look, you go into court and you're working hard and you're trying to present the best case you have, and it may not be a winning case, but there's nothing worse than having some judge coming after you impolitely. And yet they insist on civility amongst the lawyers, which is right.
Right.
But there are some judges who are not civil.
And that's happened to you?
Oh, sure. Not so much recently.
Okay.
You know, the judges I enjoyed were judges, I remember Cindy Jorgensen, a federal judge here in town. I tried a very tough case in her court. But every time she'd come in the morning, she'd have a big smile and she'd say, "Counsel, how are you today?"
Yeah.
And she was polite to everybody. Now, she may rule against me, but she didn't give me a hard time.
Right.
And we have enough hard work to do and enough tension.
Sure.
I mean, the other lawyer doesn't like you. The other client doesn't like you.
Right.
Your client doesn't like you because they're getting charged. And to have the judge after you, too, it's just too much. And it just puts a bad taste in your mouth. So I think that merit selection is good from the point of view that when the reappointment comes up, I've noticed that the judges are very concerned that they get good reviews from the lawyers, and they're very polite. And I like that.
So the lawyers rate the
yes.
judges then?
Yeah, we get questionnaires periodically.
And how often does –
After every trial.
Whoa.
Yeah, we get and they send them out randomly as well. They do, because a lot of things don't go to trial. Just if you've performed in front of that judge, you're going to get an evaluation from them.
I just wonder how many people, though, just skip over it, maybe what they call undercount. Don't even.
I think about half the lawyers.
You think it's about half?
Just put them in the circular filing cabinet.
Yeah.
And
and the voters. He's talking
the
about
voters.
The voters.
Yeah.
I think a lot of
it
the voters.
It might be half of the voters, too, that may decide not to get into it.
Well, it's so far down the ballot.
It is.
So, you know.
It is.
Okay. Doesn't get a lot of attention.
Let's take a break right here. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and the team take Monday off. Well-deserved. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. And Sunday they open at 7. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. You will be tempted when you go in and look at the bakery case, of course. But if you take a look at the website, they've got those beautiful color photos of everything on the menu. Check it out. Our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moa's Gallery and Fine Framing. We will be right back. is doing a show that's now nationally syndicated about what's called American Warrior Radio, and it's about the military. Yeah. It's on Saturday here.
$2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Progressive, you can get 24/7 protection, even if you break the space-time continuum.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on The Buckmaster Show. Seated to my right, John Munger is here, and to my left, Jeff Rogers. Jeff, are you at all concerned that some of the Democratic, well, actually some of the Republican candidates, so-called election deniers at the top of the ticket, will just not accept the results of the election?
I'm sure they won't. I'm Fincham, Lake, run down the this Abe Hamida, who's completely incompetent. He has like 4 years as a lawyer.
Attorney general candidate.
Yes. I'm sure they're all going to, if they lose, and, you know, that's not guaranteed. Crazy as they are, you know, you can't spell crazy without A-Z in the middle. So I think these people could win. I need to knock on wood here to hopefully they don't, because I think it'll be good for the Republican Party if we could sweep the statewide offices. It will cause some internal looking at their, you know, what the Republican Party has become of late.
I always appreciate your advice on what's good for the Republican Party, Jeff. It warms my heart that you care so much about the Republican Party.
I think
Party.
A viable but I will Republican Party is important to democracy.
I think that, number one, I think Carrie Lake's going to win.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's the one I think that could.
I don't know about the Masters-Kelly race. I've always said Kelly's going to be tough to beat. I don't have a clue whether Fincham's going to win or Hamida is going to win. But I think Carrie Lake is a great candidate. I think she's going to win. somebody asked her the other day, some reporter said, well, will you concede if you lose the election? Well, I can tell you, if I was running in my election, if I didn't win the election, but before the time for appeals had run to count ballots and illegal voters and all that stuff, I wouldn't concede either. I would concede when the thing were over. Now, if you got beat handily, sure, you concede. But if you're within, you know, half a point or something, and there's a bunch of ballots that smell, you don't concede. So that's an unfair question that the reporter asked her. You know, under what circumstances would I concede? If I lost by 5 points or 3 points or something, sure, I'd concede. But if there's questionable voting or questionable ballots out there, no, I'm not going to agree to concede just because people have cast illegal ballots or something. And that happens all the time. Ballots, people, your listeners need to understand, candidates all the time appeal or challenge ballots and voting in close elections, not in elections that aren't close. So if you have a close election, you don't concede until it's over, and then you concede. But anyway, I think Kerry Lake's going to win. Don't know about the Masters-Kelly race.
How about our congressional race?
Oh, I think
Siskamani, you think
Siskamani, I think, hands down, is going to win.
And Jeff looks
and should like win.
Engel lost, I guess, the pack. The Democratic PAC pulled some money out of that campaign.
They did. And my first worry when I heard that was they must have some internal polling that shows that they need to move the money around to something more competitive. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. But I still think she's a pretty viable candidate. But the Independent Redistricting Commission did make that seat a lot more Republican. It's a lot harder road to hoe for Democrats this time around than it was last time. So
It's closer to even. Before, as I recall, Jeff, it was by about 3 points of Democrat registration, and now it's pretty even.
I think it's probably a couple points in the Republicans' favor.
But at any rate, I think Siskamani's just, I love that young man. I've known him for years and years. I've known his wife, Laura. He is a world-class guy. He deserves people's vote. He's built a wonderful family. He's an honorable man. He doesn't play any games with anybody. He's just straight up a nice person. And Juan Siskamani deserves the vote of the people of Arizona.
I think the one wild card in this race, as with many races across the nation, is going to be the abortion vote. I think that we're seeing, you know, signs that women are registering in phenomenal numbers across the United States, and younger voters take it very seriously. Not just young women, but young men take this issue very seriously. And I think that's a really big wild card that I think bodes so well in favor of the Democrats that it might buck the off-year trends that we've seen over the last 50 or 60 years. But we'll have to wait and see. We've got 22 days left.
Yeah. So if the Dems lose both the House and Senate, you've got a Joe Biden, a Democrat, in the White House. Boy, is anything going to be able to get done?
Not much. Not much.
I don't think about
I worry that if the Democrats hold the Senate but lose the House, which I think is the more likely scenario, that we could see all kinds of problems. They're already threatening to shut down government if Biden and the Senate won't agree to cuts in Medicare and Social Security. So, you know, we're entering a dangerous phase if Democrats lose either one of those houses.
Well, I have not heard that the Republicans want to cut Medicare or Social Security.
It's part of the platform pushed by Scott, the senator from Florida, and this guy Johnson up in
Wisconsin.
Yeah, but the people
has said the same things.
The Republicans have not accepted Scott's platform. They've come up with a different platform that's this commitment to America out of the House and doesn't say that. But I think where we're going to end up is the Republicans will take the House we'll win, you know, 25 seats. I think the Senate is going to be very, very close no matter what you do. I mean, it's literally a question of one seat here and one seat there. Worst it's going to be is two seats difference, maybe no seat difference like it is today, and with the vice president casting, as the president of the Senate casting the final vote to bring them, you know, 151 to 50. It's going to be, the Senate's going to be a nightmare for the next few years.
And it could be a nightmare just counting the ballots and finding,
now next time,
figuring
next,
out who did win. This could go on for months.
Oh, it could. Georgia, for example.
It may be early next year.
We're not going to know Georgia until December or January.
Well, and there's a decent chance of a runoff in Georgia.
That's what I mean.
I mean, again, like we saw last time. Because they require you get over 50% of the vote to win. So even if you win 49 to 46, but the Libertarian pulled, you know, 3 or 4 percentage points, that throws it into the runoff, and we got a new battleground.
Yeah, okay. That race is going to go on for a long time.
All right, guys, got to go. Thank you very much. Mo's Fine Framing, Gallery and Fine Framing, the proud sponsor of our Monday political face-off. Mo, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at mosgallery.com. Be right back, Midway Point, in the Buckmaster Show.
Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at mosgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam of the month presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. With me today, Irene Coppola, the relatively new leader of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona in Tucson. Irene, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How about you?
Doing very well. And Denise Alvarez is with us. Denise, our regular. Denise comes in with our monthly scam alert. Great to see you, Denise.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Denise is the BBB operations manager. What in the world is this scam this month? This one is really weird. Scammers impersonating your mother or father via text messages?
Yes, absolutely. So scammers have been spoofing the caller ID so that it'll appear as mom or dad, and they'll send you text messages. Yes, they'll stop at nothing. Yeah, so according to, you know, you'll receive a text message, and according to the message, it'll let you know, hey, it's your mom. She's at the store, and she forgot her credit card, so she's asking for money. And, well, if it were my mom, I would probably not think twice about sending her money, but we have to. We have to stop and really think whether she'll be asking for money through a text or not.
So this is kind of problematic, Irene, with all the payment portals and apps that are now available to somebody.
Exactly. So it makes it so easy to respond quickly, right? And to say, oh my gosh, let me just send her via Venmo, via Cash App, $100, $200. So that's why, as Denise stated, it's so important to, you know, to stop and to think, wait, does my mom, first of all, ever ask me for money in this manner?
Yes.
Does my mom even text me? And then also looking at your at the text that you received, do you have any history within that text? Because if you text regularly with your mom or your father, you would see that history. So in this case, that history wouldn't be there. So that is a key indicator that, you are being scammed.
Yeah. I mean, 'cause some parents may not even text. A lot of people, believe it or not, some older folks don't like to text, Denise. So, I mean, that might be one way to spot a fake message.
Right. Yeah, if it seems unusual, like Irene said, if there's no history there, you know, that's a red flag already. And then you want to just double check, you know, click on the actual, you know, where it says mom and it'll give you the information registered. Make sure that it is your mom's phone number, or just give her a call and ask her, you know, is this you, before you send any money? Because as Irene mentioned, those apps now, if you send the money, you can't get it back. And it tells you that before sending the money.
Mm-hmm. So look for a new message thread. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Make sure that it has, as Irene mentioned, the history that if you've ever texted with them, and give them a call. I mean, I really would just suggest that you give them a call and say, hey, is this you? Did you send me this request or this text message before clicking on anything?
So is it fairly easy then to kind of double check the sender's information?
Absolutely. Again, you know, because if the history is not there with your parents that they do not text, that right there, key indicator. You know, this is not my parent. This isn't my child, you know. But if it is, again, if the history is not there, that is another clear, clear indicator that that is not a valid message. So important to
use
just take the time.
And just use the same phone. If there's any question, just say, mom, or call dad, did you send me a text asking me you need some money? What's this all about? And they probably will say, No, I didn't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And the text messages, I mean, it seems urgent because they'll say, you know, I'm at the store and I don't have money. I forgot my credit card. Or, you know, we've had consumers call in, let us know that they've gotten text messages from supposedly their grandchild saying that they're having an emergency. You know, and so they make it really urgent so that you don't think twice about sending the money or clicking on any links that they send. So you definitely want to take a step back, you know, a deep breath, and then make sure that you contact them directly before you do any of that.
Don't message the messenger.
Correct. Exactly. Don't. Yes.
Exactly. You message the messenger, then that could lead to all sorts of problems. Probably would be a good idea then to kind of just maybe block the number.
Block the number. Delete.
And delete the message.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about this wonderful service that you guys offer, Scam Tracker. So this obviously would fit into that portfolio that you folks accumulate. You've got all these scams going on. So if a consumer, Denise, comes across a scam, they should really report it because it can help out their fellow consumers.
Correct. Yes, we want to know about it. If you go to bbb.org/scam tracker, you can report the scam. And what we do every day, we process those scams and we have an alert. So if we see that it's the same number texting several people, then we'll start trying to connect with the media to, you know, get on the news and let people know. But we obviously need consumers' help to be able to do that. And it's really easy.
What other scams can you tell us? Anything else? This is kind of our focus scam, but there's some other scams going around that we should let folks know about.
Well, we're not right now, but we're getting ready for the
holiday,
all of the stuff. Yes,
season.
Absolutely, the holiday season. So
that's the season the scammers love.
Yes, because you can do we usually see scams about jobs,
right?
Big jobs posts. So
gifts,
correct?
The right? Little puppy thing.
Yes, the puppy scams. So it's like we were just talking about it with Irene right now. It's like they're on this calendar, right? Per season, because then in January we start seeing scams about the IRS and tax season. So so we really have to be aware of all of that.
I wish scammers would just find another life. Just get over it, right? Do something else rather than try to ruin somebody's day. But I know you guys are doing all you can to really improve people's day. So Irene Coppola, talk a little bit about the monthly networking mixer. This is kind of one of the fundamentals of what you folks do.
Absolutely. This is the opportunity to come meet the BBB staff, to network with other businesses. Our mixer will be next Thursday, October 27th, at the Fire Truck Brewery Company. And this is our last mixer of the year.
Really?
Yes. So because our mixers are held the fourth Thursday of every month, November and December, we have holidays on
those
days.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. So this one is October 27th, the Fire Truck, I almost said Firehouse. It's Fire Truck Brewing Company at Grant and Swan, 5 to 7. And then all businesses, whether accredited or not, are invited to attend. And what are some of the benefits? I guess it's just really a great networking event, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Networking, you get to meet other businesses. As Irene mentioned, the staff. And then you get to learn about all of the other events that we host. So our Torta Huerta coming up for next year, our nominations are now open. So if you go to bbb.org, you can nominate a company that you work for or know that is ethical. And then we also have some events going on with Google. So you come to the Mixer Network, and then you'll learn about all these other great events that we host.
So how does someone... on your website, would that be a good place to learn more about a particular category for the Torch Awards?
Correct, yes. Yeah. So if you visit bbb.org/Tucson Torch, you can learn about the categories. There's three of them. We have a nonprofit, we have a for-profit, and then we have a Spark, which is a millennial-owned business.
Great. And then the big event is, as I recall, in May.
Correct, yes.
All right. Great. Sounds good. Again, check out the Scam Tracker, bbb.org/scam tracker. If you know of a scam and would like to share that, what's going on, it could really help other folks. So check that out. And again, the Mixer, October 27th, Fire Truck Brewing Company, 5 to 7 in the afternoon, early evening at Grant and Swan. Irene Coppola, Denise Alvarez, thank you, ladies, very much. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break here on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Dr. Mark Sykes from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com. Silver City in Grant County makes a terrific getaway this time of year with the autumn leaves. Still looking really good in the high country. A little late for the aspens, but some of the lower trees, lower elevation trees, looking good. So if you're into the leaf peeping, which I've always been into, I loved this time of year. Only a three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning at southwestnewmexico.org. We're planning right now for Dr. Mark Sykes. We plan for him every month. And 90% of the time, he's with us in studio. We love to have him here. He's CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, and that's an organization known as PSI. 50 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. And Dr. Sykes is rightly excited about DART, the first ever mission dedicated to investigating and demonstrating one method of asteroid detection, deflection, by changing an asteroid's motion in space through kinetic impact. And the reason he is excited about this is he's into asteroids and he knows a lot about them. Was this successful?
I would say
maybe we should start with, what's the history of DART?
It started out as a European idea.
Okay.
You know, they were going to send an impactor to an asteroid and another spacecraft to witness the impact.
Yeah.
And then they asked the U.S. if they could provide the impactor. And ultimately, you know, that came around. But then they canceled the spacecraft that was going to go and watch the whole thing. But actually that picked up again with the contribution of a little CubeSat, a small thing by the Italians, called the Italian space station, called the Lycia Cube. And so it ejected from DART as DART was heading towards its target, which was the moon of a small near Earth asteroid. The primary was called Deimos. It was about a little less than half a mile in diameter, and its moon Dimorphos, the target, which was about 520 feet in diameter. And so it ejected that little camera to watch the impact, you know, take a few shots of that.
And it hit the target.
And DART did hit.
September 26th.
Yes, after about 10 months, you know, travel time.
Okay.
Because this was a near-Earth asteroid. And we're actually pretty good at hitting things, you know, whether it's the surface of the moon more softly or the surface of Mars. Again, we want to hit it more softly, but we're very good at precision navigation. And I thought that it would be interesting. So the result of the mission was that it slowed down the orbital period of the moon around the asteroid by 32 minutes.
Huh.
And so to kind of put that in context, on my way over here at some stoplights,
on the back of an envelope,
I did some.
You did
well,
some math.
It was the back of a piece of paper. I did
okay.
Some calculations. So
uh-huh.
So these are small objects, and
right.
So the orbital speeds are not going to be real big. The moon had a radius, a distance from its primary asteroid of about 3/4 of a mile. It orbited once every 12 hours, which is about 3.5 inches a second.
Mm.
That's how fast it was going, 3.5 inches a second around the asteroid. And so it slowed down 32 minutes. So that's about 4% of the moon's speed. So the change in velocity was about 0.14 inches, about 1/10 of an inch per second. And the value of this is about planetary defense. I mean, so the if we knew that there's something heading towards the Earth, and if we knew that we could throw something at it and slow down its speed by 0.14 inches a second,
uh-huh.
which is not a whole lot,
no,
then. As long as we discovered that asteroid was going to hit us, 114 years out,
uh-huh.
then what would happen is that it'd be slowed down enough so that after 114 years, the difference in position when it gets to the Earth is the diameter of the Earth. So Earth would have moved out of the way.
Yeah, but you said 114 years.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's not bad. That's not bad.
Really?
And the reason is that now the next step is for NASA to actually build and launch the NEO Surveyor, which is being led by our University of Arizona. Unfortunately, on the day that DART was successful, NASA informed, well, we learned that money for that mission was zeroed out because of some costs overruns with some other stuff. They were delaying the launch from 2026 for at least 2 years. You know, later this mission's been kicked around down the road for about a decade, and so in the meantime they were going to cut off everybody's funding. You know, a large part of the U of A team, you know, PSI's entire team, Ball Aerospace, whoever the uh-huh. the company is, and but it's that mission that is going to go out and find the things that could hit the Earth.
I would think that would be money well spent.
Well, and it could mean
the future of all of us and the planet.
I mean, it's nice to do planetary defense testing missions, but it's also nice to find the things that you'd want to actually deploy them against.
Exactly. Is that mission now scrubbed?
No, it's not scrubbed. Okay. It's just delayed.
But it's
delayed in a way that it makes no sense, because when you're pulling the plug on a lot of people, then you can't just necessarily turn them on a couple years down the road because they may not be available.
I tell you, why would they do that?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But, I'm a bit of a curmudgeon in this area.
Hey, quickly about the space Artemis 1, the moon deal,
mm-hmm.
it's been pushed back again. That's not a good sign. November 14th, they're saying now, for that Artemis 1 mission. That thing has had just like bad luck.
Well, it's
the hurricane, and
there's
all
not
this.
A lot you can do about hurricanes
They're still trying to figure out some of these mechanical issues with the thing.
Yeah, the leak, the hydrogen leak is a serious issue, and hopefully that they have remedied that, but this delay seems to be related to inspections, probably with that in mind. So we'll have to see. You know, of course, delay, time costs money.
Right.
And so hopefully they'll be able to get off the ground sooner than later.
And it's interesting that NASA's Artemis 1 mission will come within days of a Japanese mission that is planned for Cape Canaveral. So I don't know how all that, or the Cape, or the Kennedy Space Center. I don't understand how all that works.
Well, Kennedy has a number of launch pads.
Uh-huh.
And so it's quite possible to, you know, launch something like Artemis and then launch another mission.
So it's more than one. If it was an airport, it would be more than one runway.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you, Mark. And I strongly suggest people check out psi.edu, Planetary Science Institute. You don't need to send them a whole lot of money to be a member. I'm a member. I throw a little money their way just because I believe in this is a Tucson-based organization doing economic development in many ways. You employ a lot of people.
Yeah, high-paying, high-tech jobs.
You pay some people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people in the community.
A lot of people in our community. All right, that'll do it. Great to see you, Mark.
Good to see you, Bill.
All right, that'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Back in the saddle again, ready to do it tomorrow. In launch time will be 23 hours. Have a great afternoon.